Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the Guys in Ties podcast. It's Robert here along with Dustin. And before we dive in, we just want to give you a quick message from MyBookie. I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting my money on it. Sometimes I have a gut feeling about a matchup, and sometimes I'm just betting on my team because they're my team. Regardless whether you've been betting for years or you're ready to play for the first time, MyBookie is your best bet this season. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. With pro football, college football, and MLB playoffs in full swing, and both hockey and basketball around the corner, now is the time to get off the sidelines and get in on the action. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with mybookie.ag. If you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
UVA football is the softest bunch of cream puffs, bow tie wearing, brie cheese eating, NASCAR wearing wussies I've ever seen in my life. I'm gonna punch people from UVA right in the neck. They wear suits to games. That's absurd.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Guys in Ties podcast. This is Dustin, and we've got Rob here, and it's Sunday. You know, we've been enjoying our bye week. We were just talking before the podcast how it's so nice to not have to, like, worry about being stressed or, you know, planning your day around game day the whole Saturday. So I was kind of relaxed yesterday. How about you, Rob?
It was a very relaxing day. You know, just sat back, you know, got some work in, watched some football, and all the while, Virginia rose 3 spots, number 19 in the coaches' poll.
It feels good to rise when you didn't do anything. And I think that's kind of where we're at this point. But we're going to talk some football today. We took a bye with the team. We didn't do a Notre Dame podcast last week. Not a lot to talk about, but we will talk about that. There are some things that we want to touch on about the Hoos and how they're doing and what we think the team's going to be like, you know, following that loss. And also, we're going to look ahead a little bit, kind of see where the Coastal's at. We're going to look at some Coastal division rivals that we're going to play in the upcoming weeks. And we're just going to see where this pod goes. So, Rob, let's go back to last Saturday, 8 days ago. This is Sunday. And what was one takeaway from the Notre Dame game that you had?
I mean, the easy thing to say is the offensive line isn't where we really need it to be.
Well, you mean that they suck?
They didn't play well. And by they, I mean more than five people, because a lot of people played on the offensive line.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the easy thing to say. But really, like, I don't think we learned necessarily anything new from that game. I think what we kind of already knew and maybe were able to sweep under the rug a little bit was just kind of highlighted or emphasized more. You know, the offensive line play, you know, Bryce not being as mobile as he was last year, you know, the running backs, you know, not really living up. And I would say another thing, too, is defensively, you know, our front seven has been terrific, but I still wouldn't consider the defensive line a real strength of this team. And kind of down the stretch when Notre Dame was up big meaning 15 points, but when they were winning the field position battle, they could really just say our guys versus your guys on the line, and they were coming out ahead in their running game. So I don't know. I mean, it was an awesome first half, no doubt, but you know, we don't necessarily need to recap the game here, because I think so many people kind of have their opinions on it already, but I don't think we really learned anything new. I think kind of what we already knew, or, you know, whether or not we wanted to admit it or not, was just kind of highlighted.
I think two things that you're talking about. One, that offensive line. And I think we really saw kind of what the offensive line is made of against ODU when they gave, where they were giving up sacks, and, you know, we couldn't get, Bryce had no time to get the ball off. Mm-hmm. And it was really just kind of emphasized against Notre Dame. And I think, especially for us, I mean, we had the offensive line as not the worst position group on this team, but they are clearly, at this point in the season, the worst position group. And I think that goes back to just the, not only just the personnel, but the fact that we keep switching guys around, and we have never seemed to be able to find a groove where the, you know, the players know where they're going to be playing at during the game.
And that's like the weird part to me, is this whole off season, we were kind of like fed this bucket of goods, both from the media, from Bronco and the coaches, that like, hey, here's going to be your starting five offensive line. Like, guys were hurt a little bit in training camp. It's not like they were lining up in this formation every day, but we were kind of told, like, for a month, this is your starting offensive line. And it was that way on the first depth chart.
Yeah.
And then kind of you get to the next week, week one it was, against Pitt, and, you know, it's the same guys, but in a different formation. And then all of a sudden we're rotating tackles. We rotated Joe Bissinger in at guard. It's like, what's going on, man? Like, we were just fed this bucket of goods, and it was fine. It's what we all expected. And then I don't know what really happened. I don't know if anyone's asked why the offensive line is, you know, we asked, like, what's going on with the offensive line? And Bronco's like, well, it's not good enough. It's like, great. I don't know if anyone's actually asked, like, what is actually going on? What's going on with these lineups and whatnot? So it's frustrating.
It's frustrating, and it gets even more frustrating when you know that one of our, you know, top returning ones, Rankinsmeyer, has been not healthy for most of the year. Also, on top of that, Proctor, who transferred to Oklahoma, is starting for Oklahoma. You know, they're going to be a playoff team if they win out. So, you know, it's frustrating to see where we were last year. You know, the offensive line was actually pretty good last year, especially in run blocking.
Yeah.
And they were opening up holes for Bryce and the running backs. But this year, I mean, we haven't been able to get anything on the ground. And that, you know, 4 yards rushing against Notre Dame, I mean, that's awful. Bryce Perkins had a heck of a game throwing, but we couldn't get any run. And I know you'd love to establish that run, Rob, but we couldn't. There was nothing there.
Well, it's like, you know, looking at the rushing stats on the season, Wayne Talapapa is our leading rusher at 183 net yards. But what that comes out to is a 3.7 average. And, like, really, Wayne's big thing was he had those touchdowns against Florida State, but, like, really hasn't done much else. And I honestly like him a little bit, but, like, He's not as shifty as I thought he was going to be. He doesn't have kind of the power that Jordan Ellis had. And I think we were hoping to kind of combine both a little bit with him. And it just hasn't really been the case. I mean, you look at, you know, college football is weird because they keep sacks and the rushing totals for the quarterback. But Bryce Perkins, so he's second on the team with 164 net yards. But as far as, like, actual positive yards go, he's at 280, which is, you know, 92 yards better than anyone else as far as net yards go. And this is a Bryce Perkins who's, like, hobbled by his knee. And, you know, once he gets kind of to that top speed, I don't think maybe what he was at this year is necessarily different than what he was at last year. But he doesn't have that explosiveness, that burst, that suddenness that he did a year ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that'll get better. We don't really even know what's going on with the knee. But I don't know. The rushing game is driven too much through Perkins right now, and a hobbled Perkins who isn't what he was last year as far as runner goes.
And it's also not designed. Like, a lot of those rushes are like, oh, the pocket is collapsing after 1 second. I got to get out of here. And, you know, he either gets a couple yards or he gets sacked. And, you know, a lot of times versus Notre Dame, he wasn't able to escape because they did a really good job of containing him in that pocket, really pushing him back. And also causing 3 costly fumbles, which really lost us the game. And I'm putting those on the offensive line. I mean, Bryce really had no time to react to those fumbles.
Yeah. And there's been a lot made about that, too. And again, like, all we're talking about right now is, like, these bye week thoughts. It's like, it's kind of been this way for most of the season. They were just emphasized and highlighted more against Notre Dame.
Right. But especially because we haven't played a team like Notre Dame this season. I mean, Pitt's decent. Florida State's decent. ODU gave us a heck of a game. And William and Mary, you know, was bad. But besides that, we haven't faced a defense like that. And we're probably not going to face a defense like that for the rest of the season. But they really highlighted, you know, kind of where we're at in this rebuilding process, where we're good, but we're not elite yet. And we're probably not going to be elite until we get, you know, some bodies in the trenches who actually can block and can get to the quarterback.
Yeah. And, you know, we do have to bring up, there's not a senior on the offensive line. And, you know, a guy who was supposed to start at right tackle, the Penn State transfer, he's not playing this year.
He's hurt.
You know, there's, you know, I don't want to say like, you know, I don't want to just like crush the offensive line here. They're clearly not living up to what we thought they, not even really what they could be, but just what they should be.
Right.
And, you know, it's frustrating, but, you know, like a lot of people have made, you know, they've talked about this and how do you get around it is basically the big question, because the interior of the line isn't getting a push, which is really all how we ran last year. It was really Jordan Ellis up the middle or Bryce Perkins around the edge. Like that's pretty much what a running game is. So you lose that push and you lose a back who can just kind of fall forward for a few yards. So you lose that. And then Bryce isn't as explosive or at least as quick and sudden as he was a year ago. I don't know. I mean, is the solution more sweeps? Is the solution trying to get more creative? Maybe, you know, they talked about it last year. Maybe it's the true option coming in a little bit. Yeah. I don't really know. Like, it's,
but like, do we want Perkins running the true option? I don't think so, especially with his leg right now. I mean, if he gets hit the wrong way and our season goes from 10-2, 9-3, and it goes straight down to 8-4, 7-5, I think, for sure.
Yeah, especially with Brennan, you kind of still up in the air.
Right, I mean, with turf toe, I mean, I always joke that turf toe really sounds like a funny injury, but it's not. Like, actually, it's really bad and hurts, and they can't do or run or do anything. So, yeah, I think, you know, with the offensive line, you got to bring it back to, you know, we talked about those. There's some injuries, and there's some inexperience on that line. We've got some young guys coming up, you know, Jaquay Hubbard, big time recruit, not playing this year, probably just because he's not big enough. And
well, he's played two games, I think.
Yeah,
so it'll be interesting to see if they try to keep the redshirt.
My guess, I hope they do. And I know Bronco has this weird thing about not redshirting people that he should, but I hope they do redshirt him, because I think if, you know, if you bring him in next year, I mean, he's got at least two, maybe three more years where he's going to be a starter. So I hope that they figure out this offensive line problem. I want to bring it back to the other thing that you talked about, the defensive line, and how they're like better than last year, but not as good as they can get in the future. And we've also got some young bodies there who are coming up. But I want to bring up a stat that we were talking about earlier, and that's that our team has 24 sacks on the year, but only 3.5 of those come from the defensive line. And so that really kind of shows us what this defense is made of. We are linebacker and secondary heavy. Defensive line has been doing a really good job at plugging those holes and for the most part stopping the run, but it's really coming from the pressures coming from the secondary and the linebackers getting to the quarterback when that offensive line can't.
Yeah, I mean, you look at our top four sack leaders, there are starting linebackers. Jordan Mack with 6, Noah Taylor with 4, and then Zane Zandier and Snowden with 3 each. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it's a 3-4 defense. That's how it's designed.
That makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense.
It's the havoc. But, you know, our defensive line is interesting too, because Juwan Briggs, you know, playing nose tackle, it's hard to really get noticed. So I'm not going to say, you know, he's doing a great job. He's not doing as good a job. Bronco speaks very highly of him. He's not really on the field in the pass rush situations. Basically, when they come out of the 3-4, it's to this 2-4-5 look.
Mm-hmm.
And you're really going with Bernie, you're going with Handback, Famui, Alonzo at times. But, you know, they've gotten pressures. But, you know, I think if a team is ahead like they were against, like Notre Dame was against us, if they really commit to running the ball, eventually I think it's going to work. So, you know, it's just another dynamic to the season. I think in the trenches, and the linebackers supplement that because the linebackers are really good.
Yeah.
But I think kind of man for man in the trenches, UVA is still playing at a slight disadvantage here. Mm-hmm. And it's just a talent thing. You know, Virginia is still playing with recruiting classes that are, you know, with the exception of this year's, which I think was in the 30s, most of the recruiting classes on these teams, these guys are, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s. You know, it is what it is. There's a talent gap.
And, you know, in year four, we're starting to get we got Broncos players in. We're getting Broncos recruits. But we're still at a point where Bronco was not recruiting at a high level when he first came in. Now he is starting to get those higher level recruits. We're getting a lot more 3 stars and 4 stars. Haven't quite hit the 5-star spot yet, but hopefully we get there in the future where we can get a couple of those every year. And I feel like you know, our recruiting in the future is going to be more like the basketball team is. You know, we're going to find those hidden gems. I think Bronco's done a really good job of development. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can look at Bryce Hall as a, you know, his star development player. I mean, he can just point to Bryce Hall whenever he recruits and says, look, this guy was a two-star. I can make you into an NFL player. Mm-hmm. And he's shown that he can do that. So hopefully we can get some more of those talent in the trenches, because I think that's, you know, where you win football games is right on the line.
Yeah, and the fact that we're not winning on the line is bringing a bit of a different philosophy too. You know, especially offensively, you know, the question really becomes, how do you counteract that? And that's, I'm sure, what the coaches are working on right now, you know, during the bye week, is how do we kind of play around an offensive line that I don't even know if they thought it was going to be as bad as it is right now. So, you know, what's it going to turn into? Is it going to be, you know, edge runs? Are we doing more, you know, sweeps, more quick passes? You know, I don't know. And if you told me this season the best chance for UVA to win football games is for Bryce Perkins to throw it 40 plus times a game, I would said you're crazy. But maybe that's becomes the best way for UVA
and
to
I
win
would,
football
I would have
games.
Said we're going to lose a lot of games. But, you know, Bryce has shown that he's been really accurate in those mid and short range passes. And, you know, he doesn't have that long ball yet in his arsenal because mostly he doesn't have time to. I mean, that he doesn't have time to get it out. And I think that, you know, we're okay. And if he can keep, you know, getting the ball out quickly and we get some slant routes and some quick curls and stuff, I think it's going to work just fine.
Mm-hmm. So going forward, looking at the rest of the season, since we are kind of in the bye week, is there anything you want to see more of? Like, put your coaching hat on. You're wearing a Saints hat right now. Pretend you're Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Is there anything you personnel-wise, scheme-wise, like, Virginia is obvious. I would say right now, Virginia is the most consistent team in the Coastal, kind of, and we'll get into that. TBD, yeah,
by far.
TBD, like, what's actually going to happen in the Coastal. But if you were to say, like, you know, if there's a change you can make, be it offensively, defensively, personnel, what do you think would be the best thing for the coaches to tweak this bye week?
I mean, I think, you know, defense is stay the course with the defense, because the defense has been playing really well. Special teams has been doing well as well. I wish our punting was a little bit better. Nash Griffin's been doing pretty good, but he had some shanks last week against Notre Dame, and he's had a couple bounce into the end zone this year. So, but he's also had some really good punts as well, some coffin corner punts. So I'm looking for Nash Griffin to be more consistent. Delaney was 2 of 2 last week, so he's doing great. Kickoffs, he's great. Mm-hmm. Punt returning, Billy Kemp seems to have remembered that he has hands and not feet, so he's able to catch the ball now, which is awesome. So special teams, stay the course as well. Offense, I'd like to see something different. You know, we haven't run any trick plays this year. I think that if we are able, and this is the time to do it, you know, coming off the bye week, is if we can get some plays into our playbook that we can use once, you know, throughout the next 7 games, I think that'll be great, because one, it's exciting and it's cool, but also it gives a wrinkle to the offense that we haven't had before. And the other thing I want to see is some pitches, some sweeps. I know that you were talking about not running true option because of Bryce and where he's at, and also, like, do we have a running back that's going to be good for running true option? Probably not.
Yeah,
but if we can get some sweeps in, like, if Not a jet sweep with Billy Kemp and Tavares Kelly, because those have not worked at all this season. But just some pitches out to the side so that we can get our players out there, get Jesus out there blocking for him. I think we could get 5 or 6 yards on some of those. So I'm looking to see, you know, how are we going to get the run going? Stay steady with the passing game, and defense and special teams have been really good. So what about you?
Yeah. I mean, for me, is I'm curious about the personnel at running back, because at some point, you have to be able to run the football, and it can't be Bryce. Like, Bryce just isn't going to last. And, you know, it's one of these things, like, you got to have Bryce Perkins as a running threat. You absolutely do, because he's the most dangerous one we have on the team. But if Bryce Perkins is getting hit like a running back, and then also getting hit the way he is when he's asked to play quarterback and pass the ball, it's just not sustainable. So for me, you know, this is kind of preseason, I was big on Mike Hollins. Then I started leaning Wayne Talapapa. Now I'm kind of ready to see if Mike Hollins, you know, see what he can do. You know, you see in Blacksburg, they're playing their freshman running back. And, you know, Virginia Tech somehow pulled out that win yesterday. We'll get in that.
Yeah,
we'll
talk about that later.
But I'm ready to see, you know, if Wayne Talapapa is kind of what he has shown through the first 5 games, Well, the one time we've seen Mike Collins, he looked good. He had mm-hmm. that burst. And my guess...
No, it was against William & Mary.
It was against William & Mary. And my guess is that Mike Collins is, you know, struggling a bit because of what Bronco seems to indicate as fumble issues in mm-hmm. practice. But, I mean, you can't have that in the games. But if that's something that's been fixed, you know, the past couple weeks, I'm ready to see if Mike Collins can do anything. Something's got to change in this run game. And right. like you said, the sweeps haven't really been working that great. You know, schematically... You have to try to do something a little bit, but at the end of the day, our running back one, Wayne Talapapa, he's getting the touchdowns when he's asked to, when it's the ball's at the 2 yard line.
He can fall forward, yeah.
But, you know, we got to try to find something else. And Mike Collins is great, great talent that we pulled out of Louisiana. He's already played on all 5 games. His red shirt's burned. Mm-hmm. He's one of 3 players, along with Nick Jackson and Juwan Briggs, who already have their red shirts gone. So I'm ready to see if he can do something.
Now, with Mike Collins, my only concerns are 2 things. One, is he big enough and physical enough to play in the college game? Because I know that he's a smaller guy. My guess is that he might not, maybe he's being held out because he can't physically handle it yet. The other thing is pass blocking, mm-hmm. right? So I know, you know, Wayne and PK Kyer, I think, are both, and Peacock even, are both all really good at pass blocking, mm-hmm. Mostly, you know, protecting Bryce. But is Mike Collins going to be able to do that at the same kind of level? If not, he's probably not going to play that much. So it's yeah. kind of like Tony Bennett on defense. You know, if you're not, Jay Huff is amazing and great offensive threat, but if you're not going to be able to play defense, you're not going to play because yep. that's, you know, number one. I think their number one priority right now is keeping Bryce Perkins healthy because they know if he goes down, we've got no season.
Season's done.
So protecting him, getting a nice pass block in there is good. So, I mean, unless Mike Collins is going to, you know, chop block people every time, it's not going to work. So, can he pass block? Is he big enough? Is he physically ready for the college game? Those yeah. are my questions about Mike Collins.
Yeah, and we just don't know yet. We don't know.
Yeah, we have no idea because we haven't seen him really since the William & Mary game.
Yeah, he's played special teams. I think he's on both kickoff and kick return units, mm-hmm. but we'll find out. All right, last kind of bye week thing before we dive into the Coastal. Who, if you had to pick an MVP this season so far through 5 games, who's the MVP through the first 5 weeks of the season for UVA?
I think it's got to be either Jordan Mack or Charles Snowden, just based on their play this season. Jordan Mack, I know, has benefited from a lot of sacks, but he's also made some heck of open field tackles, you're chasing down quarterbacks and running backs in the flats. I think he's done a really good job of bouncing back from last year's injury. He seems to be a leader on the team. And Charles Snowden has, you know, really developed well. He's good at, you know, stopping the run. He's good at defending passes. And he's still got those long, lanky arms, so he's able to deflect passes as well. So I think both of them have done a really good job this yeah. season. Those would be my MVPs.
Yeah. See, the reason I asked you first is because, I don't know. I'm trying to think about it right now. I would say Jordan, if I had to choose a player on defense, it'd definitely be Jordan Mack. Mm-hmm. I would say Jordan Mack is kind of a step above the rest right now defensively. Yeah. But, you know, offensively, Bryce has done some great things, obviously. And, you know, you don't win the Florida State game without the performance Bryce Perkins did.
Yeah.
And one amazing thing about the ODU game, even, is like he wasn't great in the ODU game, but we kind of forget, like, Virginia was down 17-0,
yeah.
and they went for it on 4th-and-2. And if Bryce doesn't run that in, yeah. then maybe we're not, all of a sudden we're down 17-0 at halftime, maybe, or maybe even more.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a huge, huge play for this season to, you know, at least at the time, kind of give Virginia, keep them within striking distance to keep them going.
And the other play like that was the Florida State 2-point conversion.
Absolutely.
I think probably that's the best play of the season so far.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the best play I've seen a Virginia quarterback make in a long time.
A long time.
And then offensively, you know, maybe co-MVP, give it to Joe Reed. Joe Reed has far exceeded my expectations yeah. so far this season. My big thing with Joe Reed was, you know, someone's going to have to replace the consistency from Alamide Zaccheaus. And didn't really know who that was going to be. They kept saying Joe Reed, and it's like, all right, well, throughout the past couple of years, like, Joe Reed has caught like 20, 25 balls a year, and they'd be big plays, but like, he really hasn't caught that much. And my prediction before the season, Cease Dubois would lead the team in catches, and it might not even be close. Well, that's not the case right now. Joe mm-hmm. Reed's leading the team in catches by, I think, 7 or 8 right now.
Yeah.
So Joe Reed has far exceeded my expectations. He had some huge plays against Florida State. great plays against Notre Dame. You know, obviously he has the kickoff return. He had touchdowns against William & Mary. He's played really well this season.
I mean, even when he's not returning the kickoffs, he's still able to get 30, 35 yards a couple times in the season, yeah. Which is huge. He's definitely, that's a great choice. I didn't even think about him.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Players are doing well. I mean, we're the most consistent team in the Coastal right now. I feel safe saying that.
You want to transition? You want to transition? Yeah, let's transition into Coastal play.
Yeah, because one thing that we were able to do yesterday without Virginia playing is just not plan our Saturdays around one game. We were able to watch a lot of games, mm-hmm. see a lot of football. And the Coastal's wild, man. There were four ACC games, and I don't know what's happening. I have no idea what to make out of any of these teams. What's your thoughts on the Coastal right now?
Well, there were two insane games yesterday. One was Duke and Pitt, which was the late one, and the one before that at 3:30 was the Miami Tech game. And you know, I was actually shooting hoops with a buddy, and I was looking at the score, and I was like, oh, it's 21-0 Tech. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And I checked it like 5 seconds again. I was like, wait, they just scored. It's 28-0 Tech. So, I mean, Tech blew my mind because I had no idea that they had that kind of firepower in them. And it all comes from Hendon Hooker, their freshman quarterback, who came in for Ryan Willis. I think Fuente has had concerns over Willis's ball protection, whether it's fumbles or interceptions, I think is his main problem. And so Hooker was starting this week. Hooker was lights out. He was 10 of 20 for 184 yards with 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He also led the team in rushing with 76 yards, 1 touchdown, only on 16 carries. So he was pretty good, and I think he really kind of punched the Hurricanes in the mouth, especially in that first half. You know, they're up 28-7 at halftime. But Miami recovered, and they responded really well. So I think my guess is that Miami did not know what to expect from Hooker. Yeah. And I think Tech's game plan changed when they had Hooker in the game.
Yeah, well, Miami coming off a bye week, there's no excuse to go down 28-0. You know, even with the quarterback change, it was bad. And, mm-hmm. you know, Jaren Williams throws 3 first quarter interceptions and gets benched. So yeah. Then it was like us last year.
Cozy Perry throws an interception.
And yeah, he does. He actually did a good job leading him back.
He did.
I tell you, man, if Tech loses that game the whole season, might have collapsed. That would have been a brutal game to lose. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if you saw the end where they cut away mm-hmm. and there was still 1 second left on the clock.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to see the last play. But yeah, that game was wild, man. I'll tell you, Hendon Hooker impressed me. I honestly kind of liked Ryan Willis. I think he was a talented enough quarterback, but the interceptions just caught up to him. And Fuente had kind of lost confidence in him. And I think when the coach kind of outwardly loses confidence in a quarterback, mm-hmm. I think that affects the way the rest of the team plays and really how the quarterback plays too. So, yeah. You know, it's one of those things where Tech fans were ready to see a change. Hendon Hooker comes in, and I'll tell you, he wasn't lights out passing, but he had an incredible pass on that last drive. Mm-hmm. I mean, he dropped that ball just right in the pocket of the receiver.
Right over the shoulder.
It was gorgeous. It was great. That last drive. And the difference with him is it opened up the running game significantly. You know, mm-hmm. he had at least 1 rushing touchdown. You know, he was just able to spread the field more with his ability to attack the defense running. And yeah. I think that did a lot of good for Tech. You know, TBD, what's going on? All the Tech players on Twitter, you know, not sad anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen with Virginia Tech the rest of the way.
Virginia Tech fans have gone on a roller coaster this season of yeah. like, oh, we need to fire Fuente right now, clean house. And now they're like, oh, maybe this is all right. they're really funny.
Well, then in Miami, the question becomes, you know, we play them on Friday night.
Yeah.
And probably good for us. It was a long game. You know, Miami's kind of tired. But mm-hmm. now Miami has a bit of a quarterback controversy. Mm-hmm. Do they play in Cozy Perry or do they play Jaren Williams?
It's just like last year.
Yeah, it's like, what's going on here? And I'll tell you, the Miami offense, we kind of knew it was going to be shaky. You know, they were going to be hit or miss. And they scored a lot of points yesterday. I think part of that is just because of the type of game it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Tech isn't this world beater consistent team, at least yet either. But their defense is kind of the thing that was good about Miami. You know, Manny mm-hmm. Diaz was their defensive coordinator the past few years, even when Miami hasn't been, you know, the best team in the world. They've typically had a pretty good defense. And,
yeah.
you know, they gave up so many points to Tech yesterday. Is that a product of Hendon Hooker surprising them? You know, Virginia Tech only had 1 first down the entire second half until their final drive where they came back and
yeah.
took the lead. So I don't know. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not sure what type of Miami team we're going to face. You know, for UVA's benefit, maybe it's a bit of a dysfunctional week down in Miami. Who's going to be their quarterback? What's going on? I think they're 0-2 in the ACC right now.
They are 0-2, and I think that's a big thing because are they out of the Coastal race this season? They're 2-3, 0-2 in conference. They're at the bottom of the Coastal, which is one, I'm going to say, the worst division in NCAA right now.
Very well could be.
I think it is. And, you know, what are they playing for this season? They've got a new coach. They've got this quarterback controversy. They got no fans. I mean, that stadium was empty. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just tough being a Miami football player. So, like, what are you playing for? Are you playing for the history of the team? Are you playing for this season? Are you playing for yourself? Are you playing for what? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see how they come out. My guess is that we're going to see both quarterbacks against us. Mm-hmm. In some way or another. And that's exciting to me because that never works out. Ever. Yeah. And, you know, it didn't work out for them last year and it's definitely not going to work out for them this year. The thing about Miami, N'Kosi Perry had 422 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. The good thing about UVA, our defense, really good in the passing game. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to see how we react to Miami not having a great rushing game. They had 94 yards against Tech versus their really good passing game.
Yeah. So, I mean, the good thing is that Miami's coming on a short week. Mm-hmm. Virginia has the bye. You know, if Virginia is able to beat Miami this coming week, it kind of buries Miami. If Miami's 0-3 in the ACC, they're not going to win the Coastal.
Yeah.
So that kind of, Virginia can kind of put itself a step above the rest and bury Miami with a win, which would be huge. And, you know, another result, Duke yesterday. So Pittsburgh comes out winning in just a wild fourth quarter. Duke kind of got hosed on this 2-point call. Mm-hmm. Didn't really matter because Pitt came back and scored anyway. Crazy game, but that makes maybe the Pitt win look a little better. Pittsburgh's now 1-1 in the ACC. But also with Duke now, Duke's 1-1 in the ACC, but after dominating Virginia Tech the way they did, maybe that brings them a little bit back down to earth. And also with Virginia playing Miami on a Friday, UVA is now going to have 8 days to prepare for this Duke team at home coming up in 2 weeks. So I don't know. Do you have kind of a thought on the Pitt-Duke game? Does this kind of contextualize anything, or is it just another crazy matchup and I don't know what to think of it?
You know, it's so weird because Duke looked really good against Tech in Blacksburg 2 weeks ago. And then, you know, Duke had a 23-point lead in that game. Pitt comes all the way back. Duke's 1-1 in conference now. How is their confidence going to be now that they have, you know, crushed Tech on the road and then also lost at home to a Pitt team? And, you know, the Coastal's all over the place this season. I mean, there's no team that's been consistent. And, you know, we've talked about UVA being the most consistent week to week. And that's saying something because I don't think we've been super consistent. You know, our offense is kind of shaky. Defense has been pretty good, but especially the offense has been kind of up and down on a roller coaster. You know, Pitt's looked different week to week. They beat UCF. Now they're beating Duke. Maybe Pitt's better than we thought at the beginning of the season. Duke, you know, goes into Blacksburg, beats Tech, but then loses at home on a wild finish, you know, in the last minute. Tech gets crushed by Duke, but then goes down to Miami and beats them in another crazy game. So it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out over the next couple of weeks, because while UVA is in the driver's seat right now, we could easily lose a game versus Duke. We could drop one to UNC. We've got a tough one against Louisville as well. And, of course, we play Tech at the end of the season, and that one's never easy.
Yeah, it hasn't been easy.
Hasn't been easy for 15 years.
A long time.
So it's just crazy how you never know what team's going to come out. Like Quentin Harris for Duke's quarterback, amazing game last week, 2 weeks ago versus Tech. This week, 18 of 43 for 165 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. So bad game for him.
Yeah.
So what quarterback's going to come out for them?
Yeah, I mean, the thing, you bring up 2 points, I feel like. One is that Virginia, TBD, if we're the best team.
Yeah.
So far, though, UVA has been the most consistent team in terms of what Bronco Mendenhall said week one against Pittsburgh. They asked him, what's the difference between this year's team and last year's team? And he said, there's no wild swings as far as play going or emotion or, you know, anything like that. There's not wild swings. It's steady, it's consistent, and Virginia's kind of, you know, staying that way throughout these games. And you look at the rest of the Coastal, I mean, Miami's up or down big, comes back, Tech's up big, loses. You know, North Carolina has played some up and down games. So has Pitt, you know, against UCF, you know, so has Duke this week. You know, the ACC, Coastal's all over the place. You know, these teams are playing one good half and then no other half. Virginia is at least steady. And, you know, TBD if that's good enough to win the division. But at the very least, they've been steady. So, you know, you look at that. And then I would say kind of the second thing as you're looking at this is that it's hard to know what to make. And, you know, I think it's good we got Pitt early. You know, it's good we got Florida State early. But you look at Louisville, who won this week, 41-39 over BC. I think Louisville's better than what we thought. Now, are they great? No. Is BC great? No. But I think they're better than what we thought. North Carolina, probably better than what we thought. You know, they're 2-1 in the ACC. They, right now, might be the biggest contender in the Coastal, you know, right here and now, which seems kind of crazy to say. But that might be the case. So, you know, Virginia Tech, you know, we kind of have to reset the expectations with Virginia Tech now that they have a new quarterback. What is this team going to look like here forward? Miami, you know, Miami is trending in the wrong direction. But I don't know, man. Like, that's the thing. It's like, Virginia, if they win on Friday, they should be in the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, it's just wild. And, you know, if Virginia can stay the most consistent team, consistent meaning, like, not go down 20 or not go up 30 and, you know, end up winning by 3. Like, if they can kind of stay that course, that might be all it really takes.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I mean, I would still say Virginia is probably the Coastal favorites right now, just as they were preseason.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what to make of this, man. It's really, really just weird.
Yeah, it's a weird time. And, you know, talking about the worst conference in the nation, this is it, you know, because we don't have that consistency. We've also got Georgia Tech, who we're not talking about, who's at the bottom. UNC, who, you know, took it to Clemson a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, also has blown it as well this season. So they're strange. And then we've got four teams who are really trying to fight for this Coastal division for the chance to play Clemson. And none of them really seem to have an answer for, you know, certain things. And so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how UVA plays it and where the other teams fall. Because we've got, you know, our four toughest opponents left in the Coastal still with Duke, UNC, Tech, and Duke, UNC, and Tech, and Miami.
Yeah.
Those four. So, yeah, I'm interested to see where we go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be an interesting ride. And Virginia, like, this next stretch of games is kind of define the season. You know, this is, you're talking about playing for the Coastal, and the good thing is that UVA is 2-0 in the ACC. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a very good thing. But, you know, it could all change in, 3 weeks if Virginia has a couple bad weeks. So, This is Virginia's chance, you know, to really grab it and go.
I've got a situation for you, and I'm wondering if it's possible. So what if the Coastal is such a mess, UVA drops two games, somehow still makes it into the championship game. Wake, on the other side, loses only to Clemson, doesn't make it into the championship game. Do you think Wake Forest would be offered into the Orange Bowl instead of UVA?
The way Wake's schedule is shaping up is that they have a real chance to be undefeated going into the Clemson game. I mean, Clemson is by far the toughest game on their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Wake is a one-loss team to Clemson, I think you got to give it to Wake.
Right. Because
Virginia, you know, unless Virginia goes undefeated the rest of the way, even if they, which is crazy to say, but even if they did, if you compare the one loss versus Notre Dame or versus Clemson, I think you'd have to give it to Wake because Virginia's most likely would not beat Clemson in the ACC championship.
Because it's interesting because, like, if you think about it, a lot of people have just pegged UVA as that other team getting the Orange Bowl invite. But really, the Orange Bowl invite goes to the best ACC team, not named Clemson, because we're assuming Clemson's going to breeze through their schedule and make it to the playoffs, even though a lot of people are saying that, you know, all four SEC teams are better than them.
Yeah.
Which might be true. And Oklahoma and Ohio State as well. But in any case, I think that's an interesting thought that UVA, you know, has been pegged since, you know, kind of the beginning of the season that, you know, we're going to go to the Orange Bowl, play some awesome Big 10 or Big 12 team, but we might not even make it if Wake does.
Yeah.
I think that's crazy.
Yeah.
But very probable as well.
I mean, the thing is, it's like we're, what, maybe a fourth of the way through the ACC schedule.
Yeah.
So much of like how these teams play head-to-head is just still TBD.
Mm-hmm. And,
you know, if you're trying to make money on this, like...
Good luck. Yeah. My goodness.
Go to my bookie and check it out. But, yeah, I don't know what to tell you, man. I just want... My biggest thing is I want Virginia to stay consistent. Mm-hmm. I want them to stay steady. And if you can avoid those wild swings and just let... You know, for lack of better words, let these other teams beat themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That might be all it takes.
I think that our defense is going to be carrying us throughout the rest of the season. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone, but I think our offense is going to need to step up. And I think our offense is going to need to win at least two games for us at some point this season.
I mean, there's going to certainly be times when Bryce has to put together a fourth quarter type performance. Maybe not to the extent we saw against Florida State, because mm-hmm. that was awesome. And I don't know, you know, how realistic it is to expect him to replicate that week after week. But yeah, no, I'm with you. I think there's going to be some games where Virginia is going to have to come from behind in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can do that. But yeah, I mean, this is a defensive team. That's what the identity is. The strengths on the defense are way higher than they are in the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is what it is. So yeah.
It'll be very interesting. I'm excited to see. Because it's going to be crazy. It's going to be wild.
Especially
exciting.
Like, again, knock on wood, but if Virginia can stay consistent, like how they, you know, if they get the opportunity that they had last year where they kind of squandered it down the stretch, you mm-hmm. know, losing to Georgia Tech, losing to Virginia Tech, losing three of their final four.
Yeah.
Does Virginia have what it takes this year to kind of, A, put themselves in that opportunity again,
and B, to close it? Yeah,
so
I agree.
I don't know, man. I hope they can.
That's why we play the games. Rob, you ready for some yells or you want to keep going?
I mean, I don't know, man. Are you...
I've got some yells I want to give.
All right, let's give some yells.
So the yell I want to give this week is to the men's and women's soccer teams, both ranked to number one nationally, and both are doing super, super well. The men's team has only given up one goal throughout the whole season. They've beaten some really good teams like Maryland. They beat the Wake Forest team. So they're doing super well and super exciting. Apparently, Klockner has been packed the last couple games because both teams are just incredible. So shout out to the men's and women's soccer teams.
Yeah, go definitely. Hoos. I'll give a shout out to, I guess, just the Hoos and the NFL in general. Mm-hmm. You know, Maurice Kennedy had an interception last week. Juan Thornhill had the most fundamental play I think I've ever seen. It was like a Hail Mary to end the game, and the ball was like 5 yards short of the end zone, came right to him, like just could have picked it and fall down.
Smacked it down.
Nah, I smacked it down. I was like, wow, that's very fundamental of you, yeah. Juan Thornhill. So, you know, who's in the NFL making some plays right now? Chris Peace just got picked up by the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers cut him thinking they could keep him. No, Giants swooped him up. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully we'll be putting more in there pretty soon.
Yeah. Oh, and with that, that's going to be our bye week special. We took a little break, but it's good to be back. Looking forward to that Miami game. What do you think is going to happen with the Miami game? Prediction.
I don't want to predict because whatever happens. I'll say I'm more confident this week than I was after last week. I think the shaky performance and the quarterback
mm-hmm.
controversy that might be to come, I think that plays to Virginia's favor.
I agree. I think that after watching what Miami did against Tech, I'm feeling better about the Hoos. It's going to be on Friday at 8 p.m. on ESPN 1, so everyone's going to be able to watch it. Not an ACC Network game.
I have ACC Network now.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah, so it's a big deal, you know?
How'd you get it?
Well, it just kind of came on. So Cox has had it forever.
Oh, okay.
But the streaming didn't work. So they worked out the streaming and I flipped
it
on this week. I was like, whoa, like I can stream this.
Perfect.
Now. So yeah, I'm back, baby.
You're back, baby. Well, now you can watch the Hoos whenever you go. So with that, this has been the Guys in Ties podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to give us a listen on iTunes and Spotify if you like the content. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Guys in Ties Pod. Make sure to follow us on Snapchat and Instagram for that bonus content that Rob's putting out at Guys in Ties Pod. Go check out Armchair All Americans. They got some great content there. Doing NBA stuff coming up soon. NHL starting. Major League Baseball's in the playoffs. There's fights going on all the time. in wrestling and also MMA. So go check it out. Go Hoos, baby.